Alright, we have just looked at Psalm 46, and I've entitled my message as the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. Now, I spoke on Psalm 46 last week, and I thought it would be good if I can just continue a little bit, because this is the hymn that inspired Martin Luther's hymn writing. Okay, and particularly the song we sang earlier on, A Mighty Fortress is our God. Alright. So, I want to draw some parallels. But I'm not going to use all the four stanzas of the song that we sang. I'm going to show you from two stanzas how Psalm 46 and the hymns are so closely connected. And it must be, because Martin Luther drew his inspiration from this hymn. We know the story of the Reformation, right? Officially, Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses on the church in Wittenberg. Right? But Reformation has long started before that. Right? We have people like William Tyndale and so on. Right? And they were martyred. And then going over to Europe, in fact, there were theologians who were uncomfortable with the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, you know, but they have not decided on a reform. Now, what inspired Martin Luther in the Reformation was what he saw as a young monk, all right? When he started to minister in the churches, he saw corruption in the church. And the system, the Roman system, has always been like that. Alright? And in fact, we are also aware that today, the system is still filled with corruption. But then it did not inspire him to start a reformation. Not until when Pope Leo X, instructed one of his subordinates, a bishop, to start selling indulgences. Now, what are indulgences? Indulgences are certificates where the church will issue to people who ask for early release from purgatory. Okay, so there are people pass away in this life and enter into a temporary state, right, which is known as purgatory. Alright, how long will they be in purgatory? Well, the church has no answer. That means they can't tell you. Is that a month or two? 1 year or two? They can't tell. But then they started out with it. They started out with this idea. Okay. If you want to get yourself, your loved ones, including those who have already passed on, to get out of the purgatory early, alright, you can buy this certificate called the indulgence. Okay. And so they were selling this. And of course people want to get themselves, get their loved ones, you know, out of purgatory. And the church is making money in this matter. And Martin Luther came to a breaking point. He says, there's no such thing in the Bible. So he was against it. And he decided to write against purgatory. And that is how his 95 theses came about. And we know that the entire 95 theses had to do with means of salvation. How do we get saved? You know? And the Reformation cry has always been, the just shall live by faith. Okay? So the cry was, salvation is by faith, and not by paying money, works, indulgences. Now, he started the Reformation. He nailed the 95 Theses. Historically, if we read about his nailing of the Theses and so on, it sounds like very easy, right? Take a piece of paper, nail it on the church door, right? But he faced many, many challenges. Alright. Later on, we were told that the king wanted him to recount. But then he said he can't. Alright. Because he cannot in any way reverse the truth of God. And then the church excommunicated him. That means will not allow him to come into the church to serve. Will not allow him to communicate with his communicants. And so he's literally cut off. So, the church and the kingdom ostracized him. It was difficult. And then history also tells us that not long after that, his 8-month-year-old baby, a baby girl by the name of Elizabeth, passed away. Now, Elizabeth was born a very fragile girl, that means very weak in health. Alright. And it was sometime in AD 1528. That's not long after the Reformation. You remember he nailed the Theses on the church door in 1517? And so it's about 10 years later, the young daughter passed away. So he was surrounded with all these challenges in his life. Outside, the church was against him. Now I can imagine his neighbors, the town folks, they all ignore him because he was known to be an heretic. It was in this challenging time that he got the inspiration from Psalm 46 to write the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Now, it was written in 1529 in German. It was translated almost soon after that. Alright. Some say 10 years later into English, but we do not have that version. Okay. The version that we are singing today was translated in the year 1853. Alright. Our hymn book will tell us that it's translated in 1853. It was translated by Frederick H. And the date given to us was 1805 to 1890. That is the lifespan of the translator. But it was sometime in 1853 when he translated this German hymn into English. And this is the same English version that we are singing today. Now this hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is translated to about 170 languages. Alright. The hymn was mainly inspired by the first two verses of Psalm 46 and the refrain in verse 7 and 11. Now, if you look at verses 7 and 11, you'll find that the writer in the first part of the psalm ended up with this saying, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." Then he has the second part from verses 8 to 11, right? And then in verse 11, he ended the psalm again with these words, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." Right. Now, you notice that the psalm opens with in parallelism. What do I mean by parallelism? If you look at the word refuge and strength, all right, it's four syllables, right? And then Martin Luther's hymn, Mighty Fortress, is also in four syllables. So you see the parallelism there. Huh? And then you have the hymn, line there, Help in Trouble, four syllables. And then Martin Luther says, We will not fear. Okay. So people who study hymns realize that there is this parallelism in the hymn of Martin Luther. Well, this is just an introduction, and we'll come to look at the hymn itself. Stanzer 1 says, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never ending, a helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek us woe. His craft and his power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Alright, we'll look at the first thing, and that is, the hymn tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. But God is our refuge and strength. If you look at the psalm itself, it started off with wars, and then you have natural calamities. So it talks about troubles. Okay? Martin Luther has this in mind. And that is, we are always facing spiritual battles. I think Christians sometimes lose sight of the reality that our lives, Christian lives, are constantly in a spiritual battle. Right? When you decide to do right or wrong, it's a spiritual battle. Okay? The world, the devil, will want us to do that which is wrong. Things that will want to compel us to sin against God. But you see, God wants us to obey His word. So when there are times you are put into a situation where you are challenged to decide what is right and wrong, I hope we can see that it is a spiritual battle. Martin Luther says, A mighty fortress is our God. Apparently, he was going through a very difficult time. I narrated very briefly earlier on that he had problems with the church, with the leaders of the country, with his countrymen, his own daughter died. You know, it was a difficult time. Right. But what was his strength? The answer is in Psalm 46. The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now let's apply this to us. You know, I mean, we may not be going through troubles like that of Martin Luther. We are not ostracized. We are not hindered, prevented from coming to church on Sunday. All right, there's no persecution. We thank God that here in this country, in Singapore, we have the freedom of worship. And yet people are not worshipping. That's the sad thing. Okay? But we face other challenges. We have our challenges in our personal life, in our work, in our relationship with people. Alright? Sometimes we are wrongly accused, and so on and so forth. So, what do you do when you are in difficult times? There's a tendency, we want revenge. We want revenge. I was asked by a church member to go and counsel the son. I do not know exactly the problem of the son, the parents do not also. So I met up with the son. And then I asked, what is your problem? And he says, my lecturer is against me. And after that, he says, my study group people are against me. He's in a uni, so he has this what we call a study group. Alright? He says, people are against him. I say, how do you know people are against you? He says, I know. Their eyes tell me so. Okay, I don't know how the friends or the lecturer look at him, huh? Okay. And the frightening thing he said to me is this. I want to take revenge. Now, if we are in that situation, do you want to seek revenge? But the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know? So you say, I'm in a very, very difficult situation. Now, it is in this difficult situation where the Word of God comes in very true. He is a very present help in times of trouble. The word trouble there is general. Any trouble. So, dear brethren, in times of trouble, take some time to seek God and ask Him for help. He is your help in times of trouble. If you say, I have no one who cared for me, then God's word says He's your refuge and strength. You know, He is there. Then the second part of the first stanza of Martin Luther's hymn says, the flood of mortal ills prevailing. He's talking about mortal ills. Mortal refers to human being, right? Ills are the bad things that human being do. So he's referring to the sinful act of man. And what were the sinful act of man? He was experiencing probably, you know, the threat of execution by the king, probably, all right. Been excommunicated by the Pope, or not by the Pope, by the Pope Leo at that time, correct? Okay. And then maybe other things that threatens his life. And then he further says that what they were doing seems to be prevailing. He says, mortal ills prevailing. He says, look, things that are bad that are happening, okay, to me, it seems that evil men, their work prevail. Right? They are on the upper hand. They are winning in that sense. And sometimes we felt like that, right? We're so helpless. Okay. What do we do? Then part two of the first stanza say, for still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Now there are some people who think that he was referring to the king or to the Pope. Alright? But then we got to bear in mind, he says, for still our ancient foe. Now I believe that he's likely thinking about the devil. Because we are told that the devil is called the old serpent in Revelation chapter 12. He was called the old serpent. Alright? And he says, the old serpent seek to work us woe. Now, he has this spiritual side. He sees that the attack of man is not just merely the work of man, but he sees that it is a spiritual battle. The evil one is provoking or inspiring man to do evil. Right? And then the devil's craft and power are great. It shows their cruel hate against the children of God. Now remember, we will not find evil kind to us. Right? Evil will not be kind to us. The enemy will be very harsh. Cruel hate is what Martin Luther says. And on earth is not his equal. That means none of us on earth. Right? Is equal to the scheme and the power of the devil. So we must not think that we can outsmart the evil one. Okay? The Bible says that when we are tempted by the evil one, okay, resist him. Okay? We can't fight him. Alright? But we have to trust in God's protection. So that is a picture of his first stanza. Right. Let's look at stanza number 2. He says, did we in our own strength confide? Our own striving will be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Thus, us, who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and we must win the battle. So the second outline that I want to give you to you is this, that we are in a spiritual battle, but we are assured of victory. Remember, this victory is not by our own strength. In the book of Psalm 46, and in Martin Luther's hymn, he tells us that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright. So, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. So, if we use our own strength to fight the devil, then the hymn reminds us that we are fighting a losing battle, because we cannot fight him. We are not as wise as he is. We are not as powerful as he is. Okay? And then, further he says, what were not the right man on our side? The man of God's own choosing. We know who that is. So the second part of the stanza, that means stanza number 2, he says, thus ask who that may be, Christ Jesus it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Now this second stanza find references in these few verses in the book of Psalm, that is verses 7 to 11. Let me read 7 to 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh walls to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, Martin Luther used the word Lord Sabaoth is his name. The psalmist says he is called the Lord of hosts. Alright? And I've said last week that the word host there actually comes from the Hebrew word which means army. Alright? And in the Hebrew text of our Bible, the Lord Sabaoth means the army, the Lord of the army. So what I'm trying to refer you to is this, that Martin Luther is talking about Jesus Christ, and I believe that the psalmist himself is talking about Jesus Christ. And he's telling us that our only victory is in Jesus Christ. And therefore he is our hope. We must depend on him. In our own strength, we cannot fight the evil one. So we look at Martin Luther's life. It was very difficult, challenging, but then he trusts in God's protection. So the summary of the psalm and the summary of the hymn is this. He wants us to know that God is our refuge and our strength. When do you need a refuge? when you know that you need it, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. When do you find that you are weak? Then go to Him. Because He is our strength. And I think, as fellow Christians running this pilgrim journey, you know, I hope that we all can be an inspiration to other Christians, telling them that though life is very difficult, but it is worth living, because we are living for our God. We are living to work His purpose. I think the most wasted life is a life that do not know what the will of God is. Yeah. And many people are living life on this earth not knowing what is the purpose. Is it just eating, drinking, fun? Is that all? Or someone says, you know, life is a cycle of reproduction. Is that all? No. It's important that we must know what God's will is. And let our life be fulfilling, because we know that we are living in the will of God. May this psalm truly encourage us and inspire us. May the inspiration of the hymn taken from this psalm also be our inspiration. We like to sing this hymn during the time of the Reformation. Alright? It not only reminds us of the sacrifice that our forefathers have made to bring to us the gospel truth, but I think the psalm also expressed to us who to turn to when we are facing very difficult times. I want to conclude the sermon by saying this. People are going through difficult times. I've heard that the people who are fearful of the COVID virus, and they're so fearful that they dare not step out of their house. Okay. Well, it is not only here in London. I want to tell you there are such people in Singapore. Alright? They're just simply fearful. They just cannot find assurance, strength to face the challenging issue of the virus. You know, they just can't come out of it. Now, we need to help these people. We need to encourage them. I do not know whether they will have a breakthrough and say they will leave their house and come out to church. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, at least they must have God's word to direct them. Take away that fear. It is so important, because if not, they're going to be long paralyzed by that fear. Okay? There are also people who are perennially afflicted by illness. Not COVID, but they're really sick. Okay? I don't know how many they are, but I heard that are some of them. I hope we can extend our care to these people. A little phone call, you know, a card. Well, I heard that it's still a practice here where you send cards to people. Alright? And now with electronical means, sending them a text. I think that would be very, very helpful. So I hope each one of us here will be a means of blessing to others, as the reformers were blessing to all of us in the faith.